Hello, my name is Dr. Gary Collins. I'm a clinical psychologist and professor of counseling at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Deerfield, Illinois. This is a tape about depression. It's been prepared by Dr. Archibald D. Hart, who is professor of psychology and dean of the Graduate School of Psychology at Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California. This tape is not meant to replace a counselor, to answer all of your questions, or to solve your problems for you. It is intended instead as a supplement to counseling, an added plus that your counselor would like you to hear and discuss during later counseling sessions. It has been discovered that listening to tapes can be helpful to people. So listen now as we consider depression. Here is Dr. Archibald Hart.
Are you down in the dumps, under the weather, in the pits, or perhaps lower than a snake's belly? Everyone has an expression that captures the painfulness of the most common human emotional problem, depression. If you are an ordinary person, you know what depression is all about from personal experience. Perhaps you know someone who is depressed, or you are depressed yourself. Whatever your interest in the subject, I hope that this tape will provide you with some new insights and practical hints on how to cope with depression, whether it is your own or someone else's. Depression is a universal problem. All cultures experience depression. For more than 2,000 years, it has been recognized as a common problem, and millions of Americans suffer from depression every year. In fact, one estimate says that 1 in 5 will experience a major depression, that is, a depression that is life-threatening or incapacitating, sometime in their life. No one really knows how many others suffer from lesser forms of depression, who spend their days feeling despondent, unhappy, or morose. The less severe forms of depression are the common cold of the emotional disorders. As we will see, these depressions are quite natural in that they occur whenever someone experiences a significant loss, such as the death of a loved one or being fired from a job. Most of these depressions come and go and hardly leave permanent scars. Some of them don't heal naturally and may need professional help. One of the purposes of this tape is to help you cope with these normal depressions. If you find that you cannot follow the directions I will give you, or that your depression is so intense that you cannot concentrate on my voice or what I have to say, I suggest you consult a professional right away. Life is too short and precious to waste feeling miserable and depressed. Talk to your pastor right away about getting help. If you are feeling guilty about being depressed, please let me assure you that you don't have to feel this way. Depression is a healthy emotion if you cooperate with it and do the right things. Many Christians who are depressed feel worse because they think their suffering is connected with sin or may be caused by lack of faith in God or God's rejection. There is hardly any truth to this. Sometimes, and let me underscore sometimes, a depression can be traced back to a spiritual failure of some sort. Mostly, however, there is no connection. Depression is a natural response to something that is happening in your life, usually a response to a significant loss or separation you've experienced. Sometimes it is a signal that your body isn't functioning properly or that something has gone wrong with your biochemistry. Whatever the cause, you must cooperate with your depression. It is telling you something needs attention. So why not just accept your depression and listen carefully to what I have to say? Now, throughout this tape, I want you to remember that the experience of depression, painful as it may be sometimes, is a necessary part of being human. It has been with us since creation, and it will remain until we all go to be with the Lord. We have very accurate descriptions of depression from early times. From the days of Hippocrates, Greek, Roman, and Arab physicians could all diagnose severe depression. Of course, they didn't know how to treat it, and had all sorts of crazy notions about what caused it, but they could recognize it. They blamed disharmony of normal body humors for causing it, and then used bloodletting, sweating, and the like to cure it. Many early biblical characters, including King Ahab and Elijah and King Saul, experienced depression. In more recent times, great preachers such as Charles Haddon Spurgeon and great leaders such as Winston Churchill were victims to it. So you're not alone, nor without hope. Fortunately, our knowledge and treatment of depression has improved tremendously, so there is prospect for healing. In fact, the paradox is that the more severe your depression, the greater the chances are of a speedy recovery. Remember also that God understands how you feel, and He has promised never to leave you nor forsake you. So trust this promise as you work through this tape with me. Now, the first order of business is for me to help you understand the true nature of your depression. I'll pose some important questions and then try to answer them for you. First of all, what is depression? It is quite amazing how often we misunderstand this common experience. On the one hand, it is the simplest of all problems, and if left alone, will cure itself. On the other hand, it is the most complicated of all our emotions. Basically, it is a feeling of gloom, apathy, sadness, and a loss of interest and energy. Often it is accompanied by insomnia, pessimism, and hopelessness. Self-esteem is eroded, and feelings of guilt, shame, and anger are also common. Sometimes there is a strong desire not to continue living, and this can be very frightening to someone who is committed to Christian values and who cannot understand why such thoughts about taking one's life should come about. Depression can occur at any age. We see it in young children when they are separated from one or both of their parents, and we see it in the elderly when they begin to realize that they are losing their sight, hearing, or balance. In between, we can all become depressed. Some depressions are acute, that is, they come on suddenly, and then just as dramatically they go away. Others are chronic. They come on slowly, they last a long time, and they don't easily respond to treatment. Now it is important that we distinguish between depression and unhappiness. Until you've been depressed yourself, you can't know the difference. When you are unhappy, you are able to seek comfort and let that comfort come through to you to ease your pain. You can seek out a brother or a sister in Christ and pray with them and share your pain, and together you receive the comfort that God has promised in times of unhappiness. But depression is different. Neither the sympathy nor the love of others, nor many hours spent in prayer seems to pierce the wall of the depression. In fact, it is very common that when we are depressed, we don't have the energy to pray or read Scripture. We feel that God has shut us out and that we are prisoners to our pain. It is this peculiar isolation and lack of energy, even spiritual energy, that distinguishes depression from ordinary unhappiness. Now let's ask the question, how many types of depression are there? This might help you understand your particular type of depression more clearly. Now, while there are many specific types of depression, I usually boil them down to three general types. Very simply stated, depression can be a symptom, a disease, or a reaction. The specific types of depression fall into one of these three general categories. As we proceed, remember that depression is either a symptom, a disease, or a reaction. First of all, let's look at depression as a symptom. Here, the depression is a symptom of some other dysfunction in your body. It is a part of the body's warning system, telling you that something has gone wrong with some function. Often, it is a sign that the body is fighting an infection. There are many illnesses that cause depression as one of their symptoms. For example, getting the flu, or catching a severe cold, or eating some poisonous food can cause depression as a byproduct of the illness. Even in the most severe diseases, such as cancer, we can see depression. In all these cases, the depression deliberately slows us down and causes us to retreat from normal activities so that the body can use its energy for healing. So in this respect, then, the depression is your friend. I mean, imagine catching the flu and then still having high energy and activity keeping you going. You'd probably self-destruct because the body needs to be set aside for healing. To put it plainly, when you get sick, you also get depressed. Don't be alarmed by it. Don't be surprised by it. The depression makes you lethargic, causes you to be disinterested in other activities so that you can slow down, even stop, and allow healing to take place. These depressions need your cooperation. If you don't fight it, you'll get better quicker. Let's move now to the second category of depression, depression as a disease. In its more severe form, depression is a disease all of its own. There are a group of depressions so severe that they represent a major disturbance of your body's biochemistry. Examples here are the more severe psychotic depressions, including what is known as manic depressive psychosis, or major depression. Here, a person alternates over many months between deep depression and hyperarousal. Fortunately, very effective treatments using antidepressant medications are available for these depressions. In fact, the paradoxical situation now exists where the more severe depressions are easier to treat than the lesser forms. So anyone with this form of depression should immediately seek professional help. There is no point in suffering when you can get relief. It will mean taking antidepressant medication, but I liken this to taking vitamins for a deficiency or insulin if you have diabetes. You are merely making up for what is deficient in your body, so thank God for His provision and relieve your pain, as well as the pain of those around you who must face your depression day in and day out. If you don't want to do it for yourself, at least do it for those who love you. Now, the third category of depression is perhaps the most important of all. Here, depression is a reaction to what is going on in your life. This is why it is called reactive depression. More specifically, this form of depression is a reaction to experiencing a loss. Sometimes, the loss is a tangible loss, like getting fired or failing a test. Sometimes, the loss is being separated from someone you love. Or it can be a feeling of helplessness or of deprivation. Together, these are losses of one sort or another, and the universal reaction of all humans, almost as if it were created into us, is to respond to these losses by becoming depressed. Depression as a response to loss has been observed in many cultures and at all ages. Children, even when they are very small, when separated from their parents, become depressed. Even primitive people in remote parts of the world have this reaction. Adolescents who fall in love and cannot obtain the object of their love become depressed. Adults who fail in building a successful marriage or who can't fulfill their hopes and dreams become depressed. When we sin and fail to do what God wants us to do, we become depressed. Everywhere and everyone who experiences some sort of loss will become depressed. In bereavement, we see the ultimate reactive depression, because I suppose this represents the ultimate loss. The example of bereavement is very appropriate, because it also points us to the solution to the depression problem. You see, we have to ask ourselves one very important question, and our answer to this question can help us deal with and dispose of our depression very much quicker. The question is this: what is the purpose of depression when we experience a loss? Or to put it another way, why ought we to become depressed every time we experience a significant loss? The answer is not really difficult to discern. To put it very simply, the purpose of depression is to help us come to terms with our loss. It is designed by God to help us let go of the things we love and want to hold on to. It's like a sort of grieving. It's a process which, when properly done, helps us let go of those things we hold on to. We understand this well insofar as death is concerned. We say to those who are bereaved, go ahead and cry. You must be sad about your loss, because it will help you get over it more quickly. We go so far as to believe that anyone who really doesn't grieve properly will go on grieving a very, very long time, because they never quite come to terms with their loss. But grieving is necessary in all losses, not just in bereavement. And the more significant the loss, the deeper will be the grief needed to help us get over the loss. And this process of grieving is what reactive depression is all about. So what conclusion do we draw then? Simply this: if you have suffered a loss of some sort, and not just bereavement, but any loss, don't fight your feelings. To be healthy, spiritually, psychologically, and physically, you need to let yourself become depressed so that your grieving can be completed. Now, this is different from the biochemical and other forms of depression, where the depression really serves no further purpose other than to alert us to the presence of the disease. There are some very definite stages you must go through when you are dealing with a loss. But before I discuss these, allow me to say a little more about the many types of losses that we can experience. This will help you understand what it is you are grieving over. You see, grieving cannot be completed unless you know precisely what it is you have lost. Let's look at an example. Suppose you've been let go from your job. You arrive at work one morning, and there is a note on your desk or place of work telling you your services are no longer required. Obviously, you will become depressed sooner or later, because a loss has occurred. But what is the loss? It is not only the loss of your earnings, but of many other things as well. The friendships of your work colleagues, the familiarity of the surroundings, and most important of all, the loss of self-respect. You will feel humiliation and rejection. So the depression is a loss of many things. But not all the losses of life are clear-cut or easy to recognize. Even when you can pinpoint the general loss, such as, say, failing an examination or being rejected by a lover, this doesn't necessarily get you in touch with the specific losses you are experiencing. Let me illustrate with another, more personal example. Just 3 weeks ago, I parked my new car, it was only 3 weeks old, on the street in front of an office building, went in to do some business, came out, got in my car, and started to pull out of the parking space. I didn't pay very close attention to the traffic behind me, and as I pulled forward just a little bit and turned to check for traffic, a truck driving very close to the parking strip nicked my front bumper and ripped the whole front of my car, bumper, grille, lights, and so on, and threw it into the street. I was devastated. For a moment I sat there stunned in disbelief. Me? My car? Surely not, I said to myself. Sure enough, it was me and my new car. This was a loss. Obviously, I became depressed. I could just feel it coming up within me. The general loss, of course, was the damage to my car. But from a healing point of view, I needed to make clear to myself precisely what it was I had lost. If I could just know what the loss was for me, I could grieve it more meaningfully and sensibly and get over it more quickly. Analyze with me the losses I experienced. First of all, there was the financial loss. Assuming, of course, the insurance will pay for some of it, I will still have to pay the deductible and may even suffer from a raise in my insurance rates. This was one loss. It was a cash loss. Secondly, there is the inconvenience of having to send the car for repairs. I will suffer the loss of a car while it is in the repair shop. Now, strangely, these two losses were no big deal to me. Other losses were more significant. I felt a loss of self-esteem. I said to myself, that was stupid. Why couldn't you have been more careful? Furthermore, how would I explain this to my wife? We have an ongoing game we play about who is the better driver and who has had fewer traffic tickets and accidents. I'm going to lose. But even this I could bear. That evening, I had to teach a seminar on depression at a local church, and I asked the class to help me get in touch with my real loss. They sure helped me. After a little discussion with the class, we concluded, and they were quite accurate in helping me see this, that the real loss for me was not my new car being damaged, or the financial loss, or the inconvenience, but that my new car would no longer be perfect in my eyes. No matter how well it is repaired, it will always have a flaw in its history. Strange, but this turned out to be the most significant aspect of the loss for me. Now, this is the interesting thing. As soon as I got in touch with the real meaning of the loss for me, healing began to happen. I now knew precisely what my loss was. I could grieve over it. I could put it in perspective and let go of it by just handing it over to God in prayer. And whereas something like this would have continued to devastate me for weeks afterwards before, I was feeling complete freedom from my depression the very next day. So you see, the secret to dealing with reactive depression is not that difficult to grasp. Let me put it to you simply. You must first of all clearly understand what the specific loss is you have experienced. And then secondly, allow yourself to grieve it. Don't short-circuit the process. Don't minimize the loss. Don't force yourself to forget that it happened. These strategies only prolong your depression. In fact, they may very well create further losses and put you on a course of ever-deepening depression. As we will see later, God can help us in this process. Now, what are the general stages to be followed when grieving over a loss? To understand these is to be able to know where you are on the road to discovery. Now, what are the general stages to be followed when grieving over a loss? To understand these is to be able to know where you are on the road to recovery, or whether you have strayed a bit and languishing in some bypath meadow, wallowing in self-pity, or just not accepting the reality of the loss. Generally, four stages of grieving can be recognized following significant loss or separation. The first stage is one of denial, a refusal to accept the loss. You cannot face reality. It is too painful to bear. You want to restore the loss or protest it being taken away. If, for example, you've lost a job or just been told you are going to be divorced or whatever, you may take drastic steps to try and regain the loss. You might go and plead with your boss or your wife or make all sorts of promises to be a better person. As soon as the reality of the loss begins to settle in, you may move to the second stage, which is one of anger. It feels unfair. You feel violated. Resentment begins to build. This anger, of course, can be directed at the person causing the loss, at the lost object itself, or at yourself, or even at some innocent friend or family member. I believe that this anger is a consequence of the frustration you feel at having something you want taken away. The third stage may then emerge, which is the depression itself. As soon as you realize the reality of the loss and see that nothing you can do will restore it, depression takes over. Despair, feelings of helplessness, self-rejection, guilt, even feelings of wishing you were dead, as well as lowered energy and a loss of interest in things that normally excite you, take over. This is the stage at which your mind and spirit comes to terms with the loss. You simply begin to let go. If you don't let go, the depression gets worse. The sooner you allow the loss to take place, the quicker you pass through the depression to the fourth and final stage. This is the stage of acceptance. Finally, you come to the place of understanding. Now you can tolerate the loss. You may not like it, but you accept it. No longer are you fighting or resisting it. No longer are you wanting to have it back. You come to realize that you can go on living despite the loss. It has been placed in the perspective of the larger issues of life. This final stage is a very freeing stage, especially when the loss you have experienced is very meaningful to you. A new vibrancy or excitement at life takes over. There is a new hope. Even a sense that life can be better is often the final feeling when you have done your grieving properly. If you haven't, or if something has short-circuited the process, you are left with a feeling of having been violated, unfairly treated, and deep resentment, even further depression, is likely to occur. Clearly, this is not healthy, and what I am trying to do for you is help you avoid this outcome.
This completes Dr. Hart's presentation. Please follow your guide sheet as you listen to Side 2. On side one of this tape, Dr. Hart stated that life is full of losses. Some losses are forced on us without choice. Others come because of our own decisions. Some losses are minor and we take them in stride, but others are major and we have to grieve over them. When we grieve over a loss, we call this a reactive depression, It is the most common form of depression, a kind of depression that we all experience from time to time. God can help us to overcome the sadness and despondency that follows a significant loss or losses in our lives. But the grieving process in these situations is quite natural and follows a normal pattern that hardly needs any kind of outside help. Many people, however, prolong their depression or even make it worse by not cooperating with the grieving process. The single most important underlying cause for this is that we simply do not know that we have lost something, or we do not know what we've lost. Often a major event has occurred, like losing a job or getting a divorce. These are catastrophic events, often the major cause of depression. It's very difficult to grieve over a big event like this. You need to know more specifically what it is that you have lost. Then, and only then, can you complete the process of letting go. Can you complete the grieving? Can you complete the reality of the loss? Can you really be able to deal with the depression? On this side of the tape, Dr. Hart has suggested several exercises that we might do to help us to identify our losses and to learn how to grieve more effectively. The first exercise on side two of the tape is designed to help you to take a life event and to break it down into various parts, not looking at the big global loss, but looking at the smaller parts. This little exercise should help you find the more important, often subtle, sometimes smaller sub-losses that may be the cause of your depression. You will recall that on side one of the tape, Dr. Hart talked about an accident that he had recently had with his new car. The loss he was grieving was not so much the cost of the accident, although that was significant, but more, he was grieving the fact that he would no longer have a perfect car. It was flawed, so no matter how carefully it was repaired, it would never be the same again. The secret to overcoming these reactive depressions lies in being able to identify the actual losses that you are feeling in any given situation. We are all different, and the same life experiences do not mean the same thing to two different people. Take a minute right now and think of some loss that has been painful to you. Perhaps one that you are experiencing right now that may be the cause of your depression. If you can't think of any, then why not take a recent day in your life and apply this little analysis to that day? That will help you how to identify losses when they come up in the future. In fact, if you are free of depression right now, this is a good time to learn the technique that Dr. Hart is suggesting. It will help you when some significant event really does happen. On your guide sheet, at stage 3, you are asked to stop the tape and jot down what is the event that has been most painful for you recently. Please stop the tape and do this now. On the guide sheet, step 3, you are asked to stop the tape and answer the following question. What event in your life has been painful recently? Please stop the tape and jot the answer to that question on your guide sheet now. At step 4 on your guide sheet, you have noticed that there are 3 little diagrams. These have been prepared by Dr. Hart, and I'd like to try and explain them to you. You will notice that the 2 diagrams, labeled Diagram 1 and Diagram 2, talk about concrete losses and abstract losses. This distinction is very important. Sometimes the concrete losses are much easier to identify than the abstract losses. Concrete losses are those of objects that you can see and touch and measure or pay for. A concrete loss might be a car that is stolen, a pet dog that runs away, you get a speeding ticket and lose some of your money, or you drop a camera and it breaks. Those are losses. They are easy to identify. You grieve over them, and yet those depressions that come with these losses go away quickly. Regrettably, behind almost every concrete loss, there is an abstract loss. Abstract losses have something to do with ideas that exist in our mind. They're there, we don't see them, we can't touch them or feel them, but they're still there. Love, self-control, ambition, the respect of a friend, or even self-respect are all abstract ideas, and the loss of these can be devastating. The depression that follows these losses is hard to handle, a lot harder to handle than when we lose something that is more concrete. If you have a camera, for example, and you drop it into the water when you're at the beach, the camera's loss may be significant. That is a concrete loss. But if that camera has come from somebody who is significant to you, you are grieving over the loss of a gift that was very meaningful. And that gift may be more significant than even the camera itself. That is a more abstract kind of loss. Now, under each of these two categories, concrete losses and abstract losses, you will notice in diagrams 1 and 2, we have three categories, real, imagined, and threatened. First, there are the real losses, both concrete and abstract. These can easily be confirmed by others. It really happened. Your friend says to you, I don't want to be your friend anymore. Or your husband says to you, I want a divorce. These are very real. They may be mixtures of concrete or abstract losses, but they are very real. Secondly, there is the category of imagined loss. Here, no loss has actually occurred, but you're afraid that it might happen. You lie awake at night and imagine all kinds of scenarios, and these make you depressed. Here is an important law. You cannot grieve over an imagined loss because no loss has actually occurred. All imagined losses must be converted to real losses or dumped out of your mind. God can help you to dump these if you will only acknowledge that they are imagined and not real. Thirdly, there are threatened losses. These are the most difficult to deal with. Here there is a threat. It is not imagined, but you are held in suspension. You may have a lump in your breast or blood in your urine, and you don't know what the doctor's verdict is. You botch a job, and you don't know how your boss is going to take it. These kinds of things are threats. Nothing has happened yet, but you grieve even over the threat. Here again, the rule is to convert that threatened loss into a real loss or dump it out of our minds. If we keep these imagined losses and threatened losses in our minds, our minds are so fertile that the losses get bigger and bigger, and we're becoming depressed over something that still has never happened. Once you know reality, you can start doing something about the grieving process. If you suspect something is wrong, and you imagine that you've got a problem, or you are threatened about something physically wrong, then go to the doctor and get the real facts. Then you can deal with the loss. If you are afraid of being fired, you imagine that your job is in jeopardy, you feel threatened about the security of your job, then go directly to your boss and talk about the reality of the situation, so then you can deal with it. God will be waiting to help you to deal with reality. Now, this brief explanation of loss categories may be applied to the worksheet, diagram number 3, that Dr. Hart has prepared. He suggests that you take a real event, some life event that has been significant recently. You can jot it down in the top line of diagram 3 of the worksheet. Then you can identify the date when it took place, the place where it occurred, and the time. This will help you to remember where it was. Then you proceed to analyze your losses. List under concrete all the real losses that you can discern. Did it cost you money? Did it cost you time? Did it cost you inconvenience? Did it break off relationships? Do the same with abstract losses and with each of the other categories. It may be helpful. In fact, many people have found that it is helpful to do this exercise while talking to a friend, saying your thoughts out loud and having a friend validate them or oppose them if you are wrong will help you to get to the truth. When you are done, identify the one most significant loss that you would like to work on. Then spend time in prayer over this loss. Pray that God will give you the courage to accept it. Surrender it to Him. And if it is appropriate to receive His forgiveness, if it involves some wrongdoing on your part, ask Him to forgive you and to give you the awareness that you have been forgiven. Ask God to help you to grieve about the loss. And when you are over the grief, to restore your joy and to fill you again with His love. Now you can stop the tape and complete this exercise. Perhaps you will want to listen again to side two of the tape until you come to this point to make sure you understand some of the ways that you can complete the worksheet. When you have completed the worksheet, please turn on the tape again and continue listening. Grieving is the natural way we are designed to deal with life's losses. But sometimes we sabotage this process. And when we don't grieve, when we prevent ourselves from grieving over our losses, this leads to depressions. And the depressions get much deeper and sometimes more prolonged than is appropriate for the particular loss. For example, suppose I have to give a public speech, maybe at a farewell dinner for a close friend or at a wedding anniversary or in a Bible study class. I make the speech and sit down and think I've blown it. Maybe I forgot somebody's name, or used an illustration, or told a joke that wasn't appropriate, or that may have offended somebody. In essence, I feel a loss of some sort. I begin to get depressed, even though everybody congratulated me and said what a great job I did. 3 days later, I'm still feeling depressed. It hasn't gone away. In fact, it might even be getting worse, and I begin to wonder what is causing the depression to continue or to get worse. Is it possible that it's getting worse because of what I am telling myself? Many times counselors will talk to you about self-talk or self-conversation that makes things bigger than they really are. Sometimes that self-talk or self-conversations makes the losses bigger than they really are. We literally create more losses and keep the loss going and keep things getting worse because of what we're saying to ourselves. A healthy person should know what he or she is thinking and should be able to inject healthy thoughts into the mind. Notice we didn't say positive thoughts, but healthy thoughts. Paul talks about this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, where he says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Psychologists sometimes talk about our styles of thinking. Sometimes we have a mindset that leads us to exaggerate our losses, to depreciate ourselves, to blame ourselves, to view the world negatively, to not think about what is right and pure and noble and lovely and admirable, but to think about what is wrong. When we view the world this way, this tends to drag us down. We get more and more depressed and have a never-ending cycle of negative thinking and depression. But can we catch ourselves? Can we analyze what we are thinking? How can we be alert to what goes on in our minds and bring Christ into these thoughts so that they can be healthy and more Christ-like? Dr. Hart suggests that one answer is to develop what he has called a thought notebook. You may want to get some 3x5 cards or several sheets of paper, or perhaps you might even want to get a small notebook. Take a page and write the things that we have listed on the guide sheet at step 5. Your thought, the underlying or real issues, the evidence, real or imagined, and decision. Then go and fill in these four little guidelines. Begin with a thought. Think of some thought that may be bothering you. Maybe you are thinking, "I'm a bad employee. I'm not very effective at work. I'm not wanted much at the place that I work." This is a thought that may really be bothering you. I would suggest that you try to keep one thought idea on each page or on each card. If you put several of these together on one card, it gets confusing. So you can jot down one thought that is bothering you. Secondly, ask yourself, what is the real issue that is bothering me? See, the real issue may not be that you are a bad employee. The real issue may be that you're afraid of failing, that you are afraid of being looked down upon by your family, that you are afraid of having to face the fact that I'm no good, that you are worried about being unemployed and paying the bills. Maybe you are afraid that you're going to lose respect, or lose security, or lose power. Maybe you're really scared. Maybe you're really anxious. Maybe you've got a physical problem and you're afraid that it might be interfering with your job and that is bothering you. Maybe you're jumping to conclusions that aren't really justified. Ask yourself, behind my thought, what is the real issue, or what are the real issues, the things that are really bothering me? Sometimes when I get depressed, I know that something is bothering me. And if I can figure out what it is that is bothering me, and then ponder for a while, underneath that, what is really going on, that often helps me to get more in touch with what is happening. Then you will notice that the third question is, what is the evidence? What is the real evidence or the imagined evidence? What is the evidence that you are not a good employee? If there is no evidence, write none in big letters across that part of the page. If there is some evidence, then really ask. If you are a bad employee, do you have bad evaluations? Has somebody told you you're a bad employee? Write down what are the reasons for this. Once you know the reasons, then you can do something about it. Do you have any evidence for the conclusion that you have reached? Many times, there is no evidence, and we worry about things that are not happening and are not likely to happen. We have jumped to conclusions. We are feeding ourselves information in our brains, talking to ourselves over and over again about something that has not happened and is not likely to happen. Then the fourth little space in your notebook talks about decision. What decision should I make in the light of the previous three questions? I've come up with a thought that's bothering me. I've looked at the underlying real issues. I've tried to find evidence, real or imagined, for what I've concluded. Now what do I do? What is my decision? Maybe you have to decide, I will not go around thinking that I am a poor employee, because there is no evidence for that. I will recognize that God is enabling me to do the best job I possibly can. I will not talk myself into worries and frustrations and fluster type of behavior that leads to depression. Sometimes, once you have made this decision, you might want to write it on a little card and keep the card in your pocket. Several times each day, take out the card and review what you have decided. Say to yourself, I believe I can be a good employee. God will enable me to be a good employee. What I have been telling myself about being a bad employee is wrong. There is no evidence for it. And ask God to help you to change your thinking, to change the way you deal with these kinds of thoughts. Many times we discover that a good way to deal with depression is to deal with our thoughts and to stop our thoughts in some of these ways that have been identified on the tape. We all know that depression is complicated. Sometimes there are physical causes of depression. Sometimes we get depressed because we are angry or because we have been really hurt in some way. But very often, the causes of depression come about because of the ideas that we have been telling ourselves. If we can learn to challenge those ideas, perhaps with the help of your counselor, then we can live lives that are much freer of depression. God will enable us to deal with those kinds of situations. When you have finished with this tape, you may want to listen to it again, but when you are done, please return the tape to your counselor. If you have another counseling session scheduled, I would encourage you, when you take the tape, to take your notes. Take the worksheet that you completed at Diagram 3. Take the several pages of your thought notebook and follow up with your Christian counselor as you discuss these things together. And together with your counselor, may God enable you to deal more effectively with the pressures that come into your life so that you can win over the depressions that come into your life, cope with them effectively, and go on much freer of the depression that you have been struggling with recently. May God guide you as you continue in this counseling process.